Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and thank you for joining us on Family Talk. This week, Shirley and I are taking some vacation time to celebrate our 57th wedding anniversary. Can you believe that? God has really blessed us through the years. I'm not exaggerating to say that I'm even more in love with this lady today than I was when I first laid eyes on her back in 1957. Yet our lasting love didn't just happen by chance. We worked at it. It required intention and sometimes some hard work and much prayer. That's why I'm so excited to share with you the 5-day marriage challenge. Based on our book, Nightlight for Couples, Shirley and I wrote this one together. For the next 5 days, some dear friends who are experts in the field of marriage will be joining us in the studio to take us through a series of devotionals. We'll hit topics such as communication and overcommitment and expectations and intimacy and much more. You'll also have an opportunity to go through the same devotionals with your spouse. It's often been said that the husband and wife who pray together stay together. If you and your spouse would like a closer relationship with God and with each other, you'll want to take our 5-day marriage challenge. Sign up today and be ready to have some fun as you'll see how God can work in your life and in your marriage. God bless you all, and be sure to let us know how the marriage challenge goes for you.
Thanks, Dr. Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh for Family Talk. And to kick off this first day of our 5-day marriage challenge, our guests are Tim and Julie Clinton. Dr. Tim Clinton is the president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, also the executive director of the Center for Counseling and Family Studies at Liberty University. Julie Clinton is the president of the Extraordinary Women Conferences and author of over half a dozen books. The Clintons have been married 31 years and have 2 children, Megan and Zach. Now, here are Dr. Tim and Julie Clinton to begin day one of our 5-day marriage challenge here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Again, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton with the American Association of Christian Counselors and Liberty University.
And I'm Julie Clinton, host of the Extraordinary Women Conferences.
We're so glad you're with us. I want to start our time together by turning to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24 and 25. Here's what the scripture says. Therefore, shall a man leave both father and mother and hold unto his wife, cling unto his wife, and they two twain, they become one flesh. Verse 25 says this, and the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Through the years, we've been on a journey together. Julie and I are going to share our story, but through the years, we've learned something very special. There's nothing more beautiful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, and they actually love you. And by the way, there's nothing more painful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, and they don't love you. Our prayer is that God will strengthen marriages, and if you're going through a tough spot, that will encourage you and bring you together like never before.
And as we get started, Tim, I think it'd be great to give everybody a guilt-free drop. To remember that all marriages go through tough times. We know we've had our share. We all go through times when life just isn't the way it's supposed to be. But I think we've learned together as a couple that commitment and what you do during those times determines the future, the health of your marriage. It determines your love for one another.
You know, it reminds me too, Julie, of that verse in Ecclesiastes 9, I think in verse 9, where it says, live joyfully with the one you love all the days of your life. For that you're calling your blessing in life, and it really is. And so it's a journey together. It takes hard work. It takes commitment. It takes a lot of grace and forgiveness. We're going to be talking about that more at length. But the end goal is to be able to look at each other and say, this is my lover and my friend. As we get started, I want to turn our attention now to what I think we're going to see everyone do through this 5-day challenge, and that is share a devotional from Dr. James Dobson and his wife Shirley. This devotional comes, first of all, from Nightlight for Couples. It's an excerpt from chapter 4, entitled Till Death Do Us Part. Julie, let's get started. Here's the scripture verse. Matthew 5 and verse 37 says this, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no.
And Dr. Dobson writes, love can be defined in myriad ways. But in marriage, I love you really means I promise to be there for you all of my days. It is a promise that says I'll be there when you lose your job, your health, your parents, your looks, your confidence, your friends. It's a promise that tells your partner, I'll build you up. I'll overlook your weaknesses. I'll forgive your mistakes. I'll put your needs above my own. I'll stick by you even when the going gets tough.
Dr. Dobson and his wife Shirley go on to write this. This kind of assurance will hold you steady through all life's ups and downs, through all the, quote, better or worse conditions. We've needed that, haven't we? The Lord has demonstrated throughout the ages that he keeps his promises, including the most important one of all, and that's reserving a spot in heaven for each of his followers for all of eternity. Since God keeps his promises, we must keep ours too, especially the one we made before God, our family, our friends, and our church on wedding day. Dr. Dobson and his wife Shirley also, as a part of the devotional, have a little section called Just Between Us. And Julie and I wanted to take a few moments and just talk back and forth about these questions. And then we're going to share some lessons we've learned through the years to help strengthen and endear our love for each other. The first question, Julie, says this. What part of my wedding vow means the most to you now?
Well, Tim, as I look at this, as we're getting older, I think maybe the part that says for better or for worse.
That's probably for me. For me, I think it's the I love you part. To me, that means I choose you. And I go all the way back to that day, Julie, when you said I choose you, Tim. I've held on to that. It's really meant something to me. The second part of the discussion there was, in what ways has our pledge to stick together no matter what seen us through the hard times? I don't know if it had not been for the grace of God that we would have made it. We came through some really tough times together. We have. And no doubt we're going to see some stormy seas ahead. But I think our growing up in Christian homes like we did and pressing into the Lord when there basically was no other place to turn, that's the only thing that really has sustained us, don't you think?
I would totally agree with that. I think the commitment part was what we both saw in both of our families, our mothers and fathers. And I think we knew as a couple that we had to make it. And because of that commitment, we worked hard in showing each other love and making some changes in our lives.
It's interesting. I often hear people say this, that the number one regret 4 or 5 years after a divorce is simply this, I wish we would have tried harder.
Mm-hmm.
None of it's easy. And it does take hard work and time and a foundation of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that I do choose you. I'm going to be with you thick and thin no matter what. The third piece in here is, how do we benefit spiritually from keeping our commitments? What's your thought on that?
Well, I think of our children, Tim. I think of the legacy that you and I want to leave behind for them. Because, you know, tough times are going to come in their marriages too. And what type of examples have we been to them if we don't do the very best we can to further our relationship with God and further our relationship with one another?
I think one of the lessons I've learned is that God is in the midst of it. I know there have been times in my life when, just on a personal level, I've struggled with God's presence and maybe his love. Just wondering if God really understands or if he's there, but he's shown himself faithful. And I think you keep pressing into the word, and that's what we do. As we journey life together, we've got to stand on the bedrock of his faithfulness, his steadfast love, like it's written in the Psalms. Constantly, his steadfast love is always there. Yeah, I love what you said there about giving that gift to Megan and Zach, that when they go through those deep waters, they can trust him. Doesn't make it easier. Doesn't mean it's always going to, but he's in the midst of it. He's in the midst of it. Again, that's from the devotional I Promise by Dr. James Dobson and his wife Shirley as we started on this five-day marriage challenge. They also encouraged us to share some things that maybe through the years we've learned really matter, that really help sustain our life and love together. And we put down five of them, five things that we thought, and I think it's probably changed a lot through the years, don't you?
I do, yes.
But this, at this stage of life, we've been married now going on, 37 years together.
37 years, July 19th.
Yes, indeed. And 37 interesting years, I'll say. But as a part of that journey, you take the lead. The first thing we wrote down together.
We wrote down love talk. And I know that those are with the technology of today, it's very, very easy and convenient to do love talk to one another. And that's through text messages or maybe special calls or emails. And I know that we're on the road a lot. And so we do that quite often where we text each other and just little love notes. Right, Tim?
I saw this piece about people having kind of a love language together. And everyone knows Gary Chapman's five love languages. But this is a little different. I think there's a language or there's something that goes on between couples. I saw a piece on what names do you call your spouse? These were the names that popped up. Angel was one. Sugar, I like that one. Honey, baby, baby cakes, kitty cat. These are pet names. Catch this. Big Daddy. And when you start thinking about all this language you start developing, you're communicating something to each other. You know, we often do that with our kids. And I guess maybe through the years we start losing that emotional connectedness, that language of love. Shanti Feldhahn wrote these words. She said, one of the most important things you can answer in your language together is the constant question that you often hear. Do you think I'm beautiful? Do you think I'm sexy?
And we like to hear that every day, don't we, women? Every day we like to hear how beautiful we are in our husband's eyes, even as we grow older and the wrinkles come a little bit more on your face and in different areas. And you just want to be beautiful because that's the dream of every girl, to be beautiful to her husband.
You know what's wild, you guys? What's really wild is I saw this. It's interesting. How many people after a divorce, after the relationship's all broken up, go to the gym, start getting in shape, start dressing differently, etc. Hey, listen, don't lose that love dynamic between the two of you guys. Commit yourself to each other. Take care of yourself. And I think it's a statement of love if you're showing up, if you will, every day to your relationship. Number one, get some of that love talk back in your relationship. Number two, take time to connect. I saw years ago, Richard Swenson is the author of a book called Margin. And inside that book, he said that he found meaningful couple time was going as low as, catch this, 7 minutes a day. 7 minutes a day. No wonder we struggle on connecting and we've lost our language together because we're not spending time together. You've got to be intentional about having time together.
And I know as a woman, as wife, as a mother, maybe even a grandmother, we just feel like we're pulled in so many directions, Tim. We have so many different hats on in a day. And I just think of in the past when we had younger children, how just trying to keep ahead of the laundry and the housework and getting the kids ready for school. And now that it's almost school time, getting everything done for them to be able to go to school with their backpacks, all their supplies, their homework. And then on top of it, the sports games that you have to attend maybe 2-3 a week. And it can be overwhelming, but I think the most important thing we learned is that it's a must.
You have to be really intentional about giving time to each other. Let me explain it this way. It's interesting with children when they get out of control, say defiant, it's not going well with them, there's a real disconnect, you don't feel close with them. And by the way, every parent listening to our voice right now knows whether or not you're close with your children. Watch this. You also know whether or not you're close with each other. You just know it. It's kind of innate. God builds it. He wires it inside of us. You know whether or not you're close. And often, kids spell love how, T-I-M-E, and it's about quantity and quality time together. But let me say this. In helping kids overcome defiance, we've found that the bedrock of change is to be able to get a parent to spend 20 minutes a day alone with that child. Think about this. 20 minutes a day in command-free hangout time, not where you're telling the child what to do, etc. No, no. This is when you climb into their world and you be a part of their world. Just that very act can actually begin a massive change in that kid's heart. Now, let's take that up to marriage. You have to have time together. You can't skirt it. What's really radical here is when we talk to couples about changing their relationship and we say, give us 20 minutes a day, you know what most of them say? What do they say, honey?
They don't have time. There is just so much that's coming into our lives that you can't spare an extra minute or an extra second to spend time together.
And the truth is, it seems like everything today works against our affection, our time, our connection together. Mm-hmm. Number three, share a little fun together.
You know, it makes me think, Tim, remember when we met? We met on a roller skating rink, right? How much fun was that together? And I think that something as couples, you have to have a little bit of fun together. We love to go bowling. We love to do things, just crazy things that maybe we used to do when we were younger, but it's even more fun now that you're older because you can laugh at each other when you do it. But so important to share a little bit of fun together.
I mean, I got some really cool moves on the, you know, in the bowling alley. Yeah. No, what we're saying is stupid stuff. I mean, people think it's stupid. It's not. I mean, hanging out together, going to dinner. Look at all the research on dinner and families, mm-hmm. how important it is. How often do you take time as a couple just for you, the two of you? What about buying presents? Go back to the love language piece. Making sure that the other person knows that they're loved in their love language. Going out to dinner, hanging out, having that conversation. How about getting a hotel room somewhere some night? Just getting away. You may not be able to go away on this big fancy vacation, but what you can do is you can steal away for a couple hours or even moments. You can pick up the phone and connect somehow. You can laugh. You've got to get this back into your life. Clown around a little bit. I'm thinking of the Bruno Mars song. There's a line inside the song that says, I should have bought you flowers. I should have held your hand. Man, you got to get this back into your relationship. Number four, you got to have some personal space or room. And what I mean by that is I think we're as good as we are personally together, meaning you've got to take care of yourself. What are your strengths? What are your hobbies? What are your gifts? And what are you doing? Hanging out. You've got to be able to enjoy what you love to do, who you are, and bring that happiness and joy to the us piece.
And I know for Tim and I, we are kind of opposites when it comes to our hobbies and what we like to do. He's more of an outdoor type guy.
I like getting out and hunting and fishing and playing outdoors, riding a four-wheeler. I enjoy being outside, playing golf, playing sports, going to games. That's what I like to do.
And I'm more of an indoor type girl. However, I think through our marriage, we've learned to give and take there a little bit. I will go, maybe not hunt with him, but I'll go fishing with him, and we'll go to all the sporting events, which I love now. Once you have a son play sports, you just automatically become a sports mother, and you love sports.
And Julie's elegant, but she can spit seeds now with anybody. She can do it.
So we love. I'm a baseball mom.
And she likes to chew on the referees every now and
then.
That's right. Yeah.
And the umpires, especially when my son's pitching. That's important, let me tell you. But I think that even for a woman, it's great, and even guys, to have their own friends, to have a girlfriend time. It's so important for me. I have one really close girlfriend, and I so enjoy our time together. In fact, we're going out just tomorrow because it's her birthday, and just a time that we can get alone together, do a little shopping, share our prayer requests with one another, and a prayer friend is so important. And even I love to read a few books. I know that Tim doesn't really like to read books as much as I do, but I like to read a book in the quiet times. But I think my quiet times, I like to have that time alone with the Lord. And sometimes it's even in my car. I remember when the kids were little, the only time, Tim, I could have devotions and find a quiet time in my life with working and everything I had to do was just to find a parking lot and just to spend a half hour there in prayer and Bible study.
You see, what we're really talking about here under having this personal space and room together is the word intimacy. The best definition I've ever heard on intimacy was this. It's oneness, they two twain shall become one with healthy separateness. We bring who we are. We work on who we are, our strengths, our weaknesses, and bring that to our relationship together. Number five, the fifth thing we've learned, our last one. It's about connecting spiritually with God together. Interesting. University of Chicago study, 75% of Americans who pray with their spouses, catch this, report their marriage as very happy. Let me add to that. Here's what else they found. They're more likely to respect each other when they pray together. It also increases their discussions, their life talks, their pillar talks together. And I love this one. Couples who pray together, 75%, catch this, actually rated their spouses as better lovers. Now, isn't that wild? University of Chicago study. And honey, it's about connecting with God together. There's no real perfect form. For some couples, they have a hard time getting started like we did. We grew up in Christian homes, but in our marriage, early part of our life together, we really battled. And I think it was because we were so different, and we had a lot of anger and frustration and pain between the two of us, that the spiritual peace was just lost. We tried, but it was lost. But when we stopped trying to use God to change each other, mm-hmm. and simply to enjoy our relationship with Him together, all that other stuff started fading, and our lives started changing. And I tell you, when you know that you're yoked up together, you're praying for each other, there's a specialness of love that starts flowing between the two of you. If you can just get that started, it could change everything.
Tim, I want to add one more thing to the connect spiritually part. Remember a seminar a couple of years ago that you were talking and you were kind of giving some points about spirituality, and I think this is so true of you and I. When you look at a marriage triangle, you look at a husband on one side and the wife on the other, and God's at the top. And I think as both of us grow closer to God, at the top part of the triangle, we grow closer to one another. And I think that is a perfect illustration of our marriage, because when we were angry and distant toward each other, I think that affected our time with God and our, you know, how we connected with Him. And I think once we started looking at life a little differently and looking at God in our marriage, we automatically grew closer to one another. And so I think the key was spirituality for you and I.
There's no doubt, as you personally move toward His heart and collectively toward His heart, the more there's a wall around you, not a wall between you. And a threefold cord, Solomon wrote, is not easily broken. When He's at the center of it all, it's a game changer. Hey, we want to close this five-day marriage challenge, day one, by going back to the devotional by Dr. James Dobson and his wife Shirley, Nightlight for Couples. Again, we're out of chapter four, and there's a prayer under the Devo called Till Death Do Us Part. And I want to read that as we close together, day one, to encourage you and ask God to do something special in our lives together. Dear Lord, give us Your strength today to honor our promises. May our word be our bond to each other, to our friends, our family, those around us. And thank You, Lord, that You never waver on Your promises to us. Thank You, Lord, that You're in the middle of it all. Strengthen our life, our love, our marriage together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Dr. Tim Clinton and his wife, Julie, sharing some valuable insights on marriage on this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We hope you're enjoying the five-day marriage challenge so far. From the feedback we have received up to this point, most couples would love to keep the challenge going. As one couple shared with us, "This was just what the two of us needed. I would enjoy more of these being sent to my email every day." Well, if you would like to join this group, go to drjamesdobson.org/challenge and sign up to take this five-day marriage challenge along with us. We'll email you a short devotional for the next 5 days, the same ones that are being featured here on these Family Talk broadcasts. We'll also include bonus content so you and your spouse can go deeper into this subject. Again, go to drjamesdobson.org/challenge to sign up today and get ready to see how God will deepen your relationship with Him as well as with each other. I'm Roger Marsh, encouraging you to join us again tomorrow for our special guests, Sammy and Eva Rodriguez, as we continue with Marriage Challenge Week right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.